Tomorrow, the ashes of the man they call the father of rock and roll will find their final resting place at Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland. Alan Freed was one of America's original disc jockeys. He blended a love of music with a dynamic radio personality and made a lasting mark on American popular culture. Stephen Van Zandt from the E Street Band is scheduled to give Freed's eulogy, and the Drifters will perform at his memorial service. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, David C. Barnett of WCPN IdeaStream has this remembrance.
The year was 1954, and the theme song spinning on the turntable at WJW in Cleveland sent a signal to young listeners across the city that the guy who called himself the King of the Moondoggers was about to hold court.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Moondog Rock and Roll Party. And away we go with Gil Bernal, picking up that tenor horn to blow it strong, and the spark label and the whip.
Hey! The wavy-haired broadcaster was part of a new breed of radio personality in the early 1950s, known as a disc jockey. But unlike most of his fellow DJs, Freed's mic stayed open when the songs started, and he sang along in the background, beating out the rhythm on a nearby phone book. A teenaged Billy Strawbridge was a fan. He and his friends were captivated by this white guy playing rhythm and blues tunes at midnight.
Basically, back then, no one but black folks understood what a backbeat was. He understood it from the beginning.
While African-American listeners appreciated Alan Freed's knowledge of their music, he also developed a sizable listenership among white kids.
He was impressive. He was forceful. He just had it. He really did.
Terry Stewart is the former CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he continues to research Freed and his impact on popular music.
He was very prescient in his view about this black art form that he renamed rock and roll. I mean, basically he just relabeled rhythm and blues when you get right down to it.
In 1952, Freed staged a concert featuring some of the most popular artists he played on his program. He advertised it as the Moondog Coronation Ball, and it was booked into the 11,000-seat Cleveland Arena. Billy Strawbridge was there. He says a riot nearly broke out when 20,000 people showed up.
When the music started, the folks outside was trying to get in. And the folks inside wasn't letting nobody in because there wasn't no place to go. I mean, they were standing on top of each other.
After a few minutes, the event was canceled, but it has since been cited as the world's first rock and roll concert. Soon, Freed was famous. He moved to New York, where he was featured on TV, in movies, and on radio station WINS.
This is WINS New York, 1010 on your dial, the home of the big beat in popular music in America. Yours truly, Alan Freed, the old king of the rock and rollers.
Freed's enthralling style also came to the attention of music promoters who started paying him to play their records. That practice came to be known as payola. Terry Stewart says it was common in the music industry, and the authorities were starting to crack down.
New York State had a commercial racketeering law, and of course he was convicted and fined a few hundred bucks, but he lost everything, lost his career, and it all went out the window.
Unable to find work in New York, Alan Freed moved to California. He died at the age of 43 in Palm Springs in 1965, largely due to the effects of alcoholism. Freed's cremated remains were sent to a New York cemetery, but in 2002, he was back in Cleveland, kinda. His ashes were put on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the 50th anniversary of the Moondog Coronation Ball. 12 years later, Freed's son Lance got a request from the Rock Hall.
I got a call from the new director of the Rock Hall asking me to please come remove him. We don't want human remains here, you know, so I went and picked him up, and we found a new home.
Tomorrow, Alan Freed's ashes will be moved to a gravesite in Cleveland's historic Lakeview Cemetery, where the pioneering DJ will join the likes of crimebuster Elliot Ness, oil tycoon John D. Rockefeller, 22 mayors, and President James Garfield. Music expert Terry Stewart says it's a recognition of Freed's cultural impact.
He was one of the big catalysts in this, the role that music played in bringing the races together. When you think about how much he loved the music, how close he was to particularly all the black stars, how he did not play white cover records, all that is pretty extraordinary for the time.
And now Alan Freed has finally found his place in the town where it all began. For Here and Now, I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.